Welcome back, everybody. Oh, no. Doing the thing. You know what? Just to teach myself a lesson, I'm going to not edit that out. It loops sometimes. The intro music loops, and that's okay. We like the music. So welcome to the Star Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel and Star Wars. Today, we are recapping the episodes of Bad Batch, Entombed, and Tribe. We will also be talking a little bit about some of this crazy DC news at the end. So stick around for that. But I have an awesome guest here today. One of the great Star Wars guests from the past. It is our good buddy Deepak from the Kyber Culture Podcast. How's it going, man?
It's going well, Michael. Thank you for having me again. This is I'm excited to talk about these two episodes.
Yeah, I want to get your takes here because I guess I'll lay it out first. So I watched the episode last week. I was not thrilled at all. I didn't like it. But this week was much better, and I'm excited to dive into it with you. But what have you thought about season two of Bad Batch altogether?
So season one, I'm kind of like, so as far as the Star Wars animated stuff, I was really late to like catching up on Clone Wars and Rebels. So those are like, those are the bar for me. And I feel like Bad Batch isn't quite there, but it has like its good moments. Like I think like the first season, the premiere of the Bad Batch, that's probably one of the best Star Wars things ever. You know, that first episode, everything happening after Order 66. But I'm okay with it. I think it's like harmless. It's a harmless show. It's like a nice little watch, something new to watch every Wednesday, and you know, just quick 25 minutes, like while you're having lunch or something. It's fun. It's a nice little series.
Yeah. I think again, for the most part, I do really enjoy it, and I feel bad because like we had the guests from Distant Echoes podcast a couple weeks ago, and they are like so intelligent and kind of defending what most people would call a filler episode, right? And here's my thing. It's like, for whatever reason, a lot of that, like, especially this first episode, Entombed, it's like, I feel like there are episodes where we're not necessarily learning anything about the characters. And I think that's the thing. Like, I get the point of, like, a standalone kind of enclosed episode. There's a beginning, middle, and end, right? But even in the TV shows that are formatted like that, I typically, like, I feel like I still grow to love the characters more, or I learn something new about them, or it kind of shines a light on a situation that I never considered before. And I find a lot of these episodes just not doing that for me. So I hate to start on a negative note here, but that's where I'm at right now. Can you pull me out of this rut that I'm feeling with Bad Batch?
I'll just say that's kind of just what the animated shows are, is like they're all, I'd say most of them are just kind of random adventures, and every now and then you'll get like a two or three episode arc. But no, I more or less feel the same about you. I mean, yeah, we didn't really learn anything in Entombed. Maybe in the future, just because of some things that are in there about, like, we'll get into it, but there's some rumors floating around and like some theories about what could possibly be there that kind of excites me, but yeah. So
okay, well, I'm excited to get into it with you, so we will start talking about Entombed here. And we start the episode, they're kind of like on a junkyard trip, and Omega ends up finding this compass with coordinates on it, and they take it back to base, and this is where we get our buddy Fee the pirate back. And Fee is like, this leads somewhere special, and we need to go on a treasure hunt. So that kind of sets up our episode here. Deepak, I want to get your takes on Fee. What Wanda Sykes here? What have you thought of her thus far?
Like, she pops up every now and then. I don't think I really care about it too much, but I guess this is a nice, fun little journey that she can take them on. But yeah, no, I mean, if she wasn't in it at all, I don't think I'd, you know, bat an eye. But she's just okay, you know.
So, I don't know if you remember from season one. Rafa and Trace. Tommy hated those characters. And that became a big theme on this podcast. He didn't like them at all. And you know what? I think I have my most hated character. I don't like Fee at all. Here's the thing. I think the point is we're not supposed to like Fee. Fee is very much like, you know, kind of like over-exaggerating things. She's very grandiose when she's telling stories and sending them on these adventures, right? But the other thing is, I feel like Wanda Sykes is really phoning this in. Like, if you listen to some of these lines, it sounds like she's reading it for the first time, right? Like, it sounds like she's sitting at her home recording studio, just getting a paycheck, reading a script. And, you know, I promise, here's my second negative complaint already, but I will get more positive after this, but I'm not digging Fee.
Yeah, I don't really care for it. I mean, I guess Wanda Sykes is cashing in on this role, but that's all I can really say. Like, yeah. She kind of just like almost screws all of them over by taking them on this trip, and got to side with Hunter here. It's like, nah, you're screwing us over. What's happening here?
That doesn't even really know what they're looking for here, but we will move on. They end up following this compass to a mountainside, and they find like a secret cave entrance, and there's a lot of stuff. And this is kind of like when the episode kind of drags for me, is like we go into like a lot of Tomb Raider-esque puzzles here. There's nods to like Indiana Jones with this compass and like, you know, shining light on things that open. What did you think about like the whole tomb sequence and like some of the like puzzles they interacted with?
It's very Indiana Jones, you're right, especially in moments where like they solve like one little key part of the puzzle, and then Kevin Kiner's score just comes in just big and grand and just unnecessarily epic. I just thought that was kind of funny, but there's the thing about it reminded me of a video game. A lot of this reminded me of Fallen Order, actually, and I'm sure we're gonna get some more of that later, because going through Fallen Order, you play a lot of, you know, just solving random puzzles, and then I'll bring up another point later, but like, I don't know, I thought they were fun. They weren't like super tricky puzzles or anything, but yeah, they were cool.
Yeah, no, that's a good, it's something I didn't think about once you said it, like totally clicked, especially like the aesthetics of like the glowing like designs inside the quote unquote cave. So yeah, no, that's an interesting take.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is where we kind of find out also what they're actually looking for. And they mention it is the heart of the mountain, that it is in the tomb. And again, like it's all kind of vague, and like Fee doesn't know exactly like what she's getting herself into by any means, which is, I guess that's fascinating. Again, not something that makes me like Fee so much, but it's fun.
Yeah, no, she's just here to try and get paid. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know.
So, there's also this beast in there. Like, I guess like, I don't know what this is. It's some sort of creature that like, it kind of goes a little horror movie mode where like you see him like peering around corners and stuff, and you know, he's going to attack at some point. And yeah, they do tussle with this guy a little bit.
Yeah. This beast seemed impossible to take down. Like they kept on nailing it, you know, like they kept on shooting it. And then all it took for them was for fucking Record to just toss it out the window.
Yeah,
your guess is as good as mine. I've never seen this monster before either. Might have been in some other stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with a lot of it. And here's the thing, I'm excited to get your take on this, what we kind of figure out what this thing is at the end, because here's the thing, like I don't know anything about it. I didn't do a whole lot of research. I feel like there's probably something going on there, but We'll go back here. So they end up getting separated. It's like Fee, Omega, and Hunter, and then Tech, Echo, and Wrecker. They end up, I guess Omega first finds the heart, and this is where she pulls it out, and the beast comes alive. It is like a giant, what is this? What is this thing? A giant robot?
It's a giant mech that I don't think we've ever seen. Like, we've never seen giant robots in Star Wars before, you know, let alone something that shoots a giant beam from what, like its chest or its head. I feel like it was from its chest. But, oh, man, this thing was, I'm going to refer back to Fallen Order here, because this is the big rumor and this is like the big theorizing. Do you remember in Fallen Order, the Zepho planet or the Zepho race? They had like those, they're like aliens. They were referred to as ancients, right? And they mentioned something about this tomb that they're in, is that it's ancient. It was made by like over 2,500 years ago. I don't know if that's the number, but it's really old. And that's I think that completely lines up with the Zepho. And it looks like the way it's shaped, the way its head is shaped, looks just like the Zepho aliens. And I'm like, That's kind of cool that they're kind of connecting this to Fallen Order. And will they return to that in the future? I don't know. I don't think so. But if we get maybe like, I don't know, like a Bad Batch cameo, like one of the characters in the next Fallen Order game, that would be fun because they do stuff like that. Like we got Saw Gerrera in the first Fallen Order game. So I'd be interested to see if they try to do something like that, try to connect the two. But I'm not holding my breath for it.
Well, that's interesting. It's not something that was on my radar at all. So, I think it is. It's probably way more likely that like there's another nod in Fallen Order because the first one was really good. It kind of like some of its connective tissue to some of the other properties. So, I think that would be very interesting. I don't think we'll see this thing again in the Bad Batch, but have you laying that out? I totally see it in Fallen Order 2 or Jedi Survivor, whatever it's called.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, that was my favorite part of the episode, just seeing that mech and the potential there. But yeah, it's so fun.
I guess my big thing, I maybe that kind of shines a light on all of this that I hadn't really considered before because again, like I didn't have any theories, I didn't read anything about this monster, so like for me, I was like. Like again, like my whole complaint was like I didn't learn anything here. Like this didn't like push anything forward for me in terms of the characters or the storyline. So yeah, there's that. So
I think what's kind of lacking right now is because I feel like we really got to see Omega grow as a character through season one, and right now, like for the most part, what we're getting is that she can hold her own. She's like part of the crew now, but like I don't know. I don't think we're getting any more than that through like six episodes. You know what I mean? Because I feel like at the center of the show, it's kind of like her thing, you know what I mean? And the Bad Batch are almost kind of like side characters, like just kind of guiding her through everything. And I'm curious if like if someday like they have to run into Boba at some point, right? Because that's like the Alpha and the Omega, you know?
That's
So.
definitely something we've talked about. And also, it would be interesting because you mentioned so let me ask you this. Aside from Omega, who's your favorite Bad Batcher?
Tech. And
Okay.
actually, it wasn't the last episode. I think it was maybe episode four, the faster one, the racing one. That was the one that solidified it for me.
Okay. I see that.
Tech fucking rules.
And that's kind of what I'm looking for in season two, right? Because I do feel like we're really established with Omega. I'm totally sold on that character. But like I want more from the Bad Batch themselves, right? Like I want to learn more about these characters. And that is a great example of like a big moment for that character that kind of changed my perception of Tech. So I would like to see the same thing for, we get a lot of Wrecker, but like I still think we could dive deeper into like who these people are and what they're capable of, whether it's Wrecker, Echo, Hunter, all of them, really. So
Yeah, I think they're giving some time for Echo to shine because he's kind of like the one that's like in the first two episodes, he was always the one talking to Hunter saying like, "Hey, like we keep pulling these jobs just like for our survival, but we could be doing more, you know?" So I think they're trying to like build him up a little more to kind of like a little redemption, you know? Because he was so like screwed over in the like yeah.
We'll go back to the episode here. They end up so a couple things happen here. Fee almost falls, Hunter saves Fee, Wrecker throws that freaking gargoyle out the window. Tech's trying to shut down the monster, that doesn't work. They end up just putting the heart back in and like that like turn it off. So it's not even really like a, like at first I was like it's like the opposite of a key, right? You take it out to activate it, and then you put it back in, and it destroys itself. So again, I don't like the technical aspect of this robot. I don't fully understand, but it is what
Yeah.
it is.
And like I feel like sometimes whenever they get into a pickle, Tech always does something that's like super smart that helps them solve the problem, right? But this time around he's like, "Well, we took it out. What if we put it back in?" I'm like, "Great, thanks, Tech."
That's like a
Like
Wrecker solution, not a tech
Yeah.
solution. Yeah,
but yeah,
well
no,
done.
when they put it back in, it literally the machine literally destroyed itself, and I was like, all right, cool.
Not the best like design there for the character. Like, I don't know, just it's kind of a one use type monster,
yeah.
But they end up the thing collapses, and you know, they're all kind of, again, they're kind of upset with Fee here. They're like, well, this is a big waste of time, like, we didn't gain anything here. Fee says something here that they're going to their next stop would be the Kingdom of Elway to find a chalice. That would be their next mission, which, like, I thought that might be the next episode, but we didn't get that. I don't really know what Elway is. The only thing that I put together here is I don't know. Again, the chalice, is that like another reference to Indiana Jones? I don't know.
For real. Like, I mean, yeah, no, to me, it just kind of seemed like almost like kind of like some throwaway lines. Like maybe they return to it in like three episodes down the line and it's just another random adventure, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, I don't think they're going to find whatever that is.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that is Entombed. Not my favorite of the two we're going to talk about, because we will move on to Tribe here. And this is one I'm going to gush over. I thought this was absolutely incredible. We get the return of Gungi from one of my favorite arcs of the Clone Wars with the younglings. And I love seeing Gungi here. What do you think about the return of Gungi?
Absolutely love the return of Gungi. My guy is back, and I just want him in live action, like, right now.
Yeah.
But no, he was, like, I love Gungi just from, like, the first one. He has the coolest lightsaber, for one. Well, maybe not the coolest. He has a pretty cool lightsaber, but, like, the wooden hilt is just awesome. He kicks so much ass, and, man, what an episode for Gungi.
Yeah. I feel like my favorite lightsabers are always the ones that, like, speak to the character itself, right? Like,
right.
I feel like, you know, like, Dooku has the curved hilt because he's more like the fencing style, and you have like Kylo Ren, who's got like the broken kyber crystal, and it kind of like you know, it's more of a reference to him as a person as well. And then you get like he's got the wood from Kashyyyk, and yeah, so yeah, definitely up there, like upper echelon lightsabers for sure. So I will set it up here. They're on a mission. I don't exactly know what they're doing. They're going to these droids to give them information to take down the Empire. I don't really know. They kind of brush past it. But the important thing is Omega starts sneaking around, and this is where she finds Gungi being electrocuted. And she's going to save him. So this is fun.
This was fun. This was a fun part of the episode. But I think what they were doing, what the Bad Batch was doing, it seemed like they were just pulling another job for Cid, and they were selling like fake identification credentials or something,
gotcha.
Something along those lines. But yeah, no, the rescue was pretty great, just because like, just right when he force grabs that lightsaber, it's like he doesn't even need the rest of them anymore. He could probably just take down all these droids himself, but they had to get out of there, so.
Yeah, Gungi's like, I don't know, like, he's a youngling, obviously, or I guess, like, a teenling now, but he's kind of a badass.
Teen Wookiee.
Yeah, teen Wookiee. Yeah, he's kind of a badass. Like, he's very good with the lightsaber, so impressed, Gungi. So Echo ends up finding them, and they call for backup, and this is where we find out the droids are trying to sell the Wookiee, and this is where a lot of the fight breaks out, and they end up escaping on a ship, and this is where we find out very very like touching, like, because when they first escape and they're on the ship, Gungi is like kind of like cowering in the corner, like very afraid of the Bad Batch, and for a good reason, them being clones and all, but they're able to break through the Gungi. So I kind of like, I was starting to think, like, could this be like a new Bad Batcher, right? Like, I know, like, the point of the episode was to get him back to Kashyyyk, but there is a moment there I was like, I would love for Gungi to become, like, a mainstay on this team.
Same here, yeah. Add a Jedi into the mix, that'd be fun. But yeah, no, I really liked this scene, too. It was very, like, right when he opens up, it's like, Omega gives him his food, or gives up her food so that he can have it. It's, like, very touching. Mm-hmm. And I like that they just were able to, like, talk through to him. It's like, yeah, well, he's afraid of us, but, you know, it's with good reason. Like, us clones like tried to go after him, you know? So luckily they had tech there to save the day to translate. My guy's coming through again.
Let's go, Tech. Team Tech. I ask all our guests this thus far, but I'm gonna stop down here because there is like an interesting connection between Gunji and Omega, and we kind of see it throughout the episode. But they seem very connected, and you know, there's a lot of theories about like Omega being force sensitive and all this kind of stuff. Do you have like an Omega theory? Like, is there anything more to Omega that we're missing?
I really don't know. I mean, she's one of those clones that just grows up naturally, right? And I mean, I feel like they are building something up to that, but I mean, I really have no clue. It's possible, like maybe force sensitive. I don't know if it's if that's how they connect. I think they're just connecting just because they're like they're kids, you know? But yeah, I'm not sure on that one. No theories. Have you heard any good theories about Omega?
I mean, again, I ask everybody this. I've heard some crazy, like, I think the main, like, if there is like a big theory, it is like somehow she has some sort of force connectivity. It's interesting that she's like kind of like a savant in everything she does. She is good at everything. So it's interesting in that way. For me, I'm not going to put all my money on that. I'm kind of like you brought up Boba Fett, and like that's been the horn I've been ringing this whole time is like there's going to be some big reuniting of Boba Fett and Omega, and I don't think it's necessarily going to go well. I think they'll not see eye to eye, and I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm curious, like, if they do meet, like what's gonna happen? Like I do agree with you that they won't see eye to eye, but obviously like Boba Fett lives on through the future. And I wonder how Omega fits into all that, or if they'll try to like fit her into like the bigger story, and how the rest of the Bad Batch fits into the bigger, you know, bigger picture of Star Wars. 'Cause right now they just kind of seem like they're, you know, making their way through the galaxy, just trying to survive. So we'll see.
We will. So let's see here. Yes, so they're gonna end up going to Kashyyyk, and I really like they end up landing there, and one of my favorite themes about this episode is how they characterize Kashyyyk through animals, right? The first encounter we get is we walk up on all these spider webs, and there's these giant spiders, and of course, at first they're afraid of the spiders, but it's explained to them that like these guys are not going to attack us. Every living thing on Kashyyyk is nice, and they care about. It's not like Skull Island, right? And like I feel like that's kind of like the way they subverted our expectations by like, you know, this kind of jungle mission. And I really like that because again, even later we get like the tigers they kind of roll in on. It's kind of presented at first like, ooh, there's something creeping around. It's kind of scary. But then they're like on their side and like we see how that culminates at the end. But I really liked just the personification of Kashyyyk through the animals in this episode.
Yeah, Kashyyyk is great. So have you ever played Knights of the Old Republic?
It's like my Star Wars blind spot. I have not,
Oh,
unfortunately. I played
you
The
should
Old
play it.
Republic, the MMO, but no,
Right.
not Knights of the Old.
You should definitely play Knights of the Old Republic. I think you can download it for free. I
Is the
have it on my
remaster?
phone.
I know that we're gonna do a remaster. I feel like that like disappeared. Is that not a thing?
Yeah, no, it's I've been trying to keep tabs on that. It's on hold indefinitely.
Oh,
But
yikes. Okay.
the reason why I bring it up is because pretty much in the game you kind of go from planet to planet, and one of the ones that you get to explore is Kashyyyk. And it's crazy because you only get to explore Kashyyyk at night. It's kind of scary, but like pretty much all the animals there are pretty much like they're all aggressive. So pretty much the animals that we see in this, like kind of weird spider things, those are called Kinrath. And I don't know that I've ever seen Kinrath in Star Wars outside of this video game. And this game is from like 2003. So that was really fun to see. I really like seeing it. But I do like the way that, like you said, that the Wookiees kind of have a connection to all the animals on Kashyyyk, and that's really fun. But yeah, it was just awesome to see that stuff. And Kashyyyk is great. Animated beautifully. Yeah, cool stuff.
Yeah, big Avatar Pandora vibes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you this is complete sidetrack. Did you like Avatar too? That's another thing we have to ask people.
Yeah, I was fine with it. I mean, what I watched it once and I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna see this again. I'm not gonna see it for a repeat viewing, you know? I think it's a tad too long.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's the gold standard for CGI and visual effects, you know? Like everything else is like Walmart brand to me.
Yeah, I might be the biggest Avatar stan, so
Gotcha.
look out for the spin-off podcast where we talk only about Avatar. But yeah,
Nice.
so we will move on here. They end up going to this village, and the village is destroyed. We kind of get hints of this. There's like a lot of smoke, and yeah, it's not looking great. But yes, the village is destroyed, and this is where we see some Trandoshans with a Wookiee that has been captured, which is this, this is all over Star Wars, the like race rivalry between the Trandoshans and the Wookiees. Even in most recently Book of Boba Fett, you get the Trandoshans trying to sell Wookiee pelts, right? And this is the thing, like I was very scared when they said we were going to Kashyyyk, because nothing good happens to the Wookiees, right? Like throughout all of Star Wars history, they have been like enslaved, there's been genocide, like it is like always something horrible. And here we are again with their big rivals, the Trandoshans, capturing them with the help of the Empire.
They can't catch a break. It's a shame.
No. No.
Their
So.
shit's getting burned down too. Just bad business. But I do like that we're getting more of that, you know. I wonder if we'll ever go deeper into exploring like the rivalry between the two. 'Cause to be honest with you, do you know how it started? Like, why are they at odds with each other?
I don't remember exactly. Oh, I mean, I know their planets are close by, so like there was,
Okay.
again, I think like enslavement and stuff. Like I know the broad strokes, but
Yeah. I hope to get just a little more of that because it's pretty interesting. But yeah.
here's my pitch: Tales of the Jedi Season 2 follows Gunji, picks up after this, and we go into more of that.
Yes, 3 episodes on Gunji. I mean, if they do the thing where it's like 6 episodes again and we do the 3 and 3, I'd love that.
Yeah.
Man, Tales of the Jedi is amazing.
Yeah. I think that's what hurts the show the most, is it's coming on the tail of Tales of the Jedi, which I
Yes,
thought was incredible.
agreed.
Okay, so yeah, so this is where Gunji, I love Gunji here, because they warned Gunji, they're like, hey, keep the lightsaber away, that kind of draws too much attention. And immediately Gunji sees a Wookiee enslaved, and he jumps out with the lightsaber, and yeah, the Bad Batch end up backing up, but this is definitely a fun fight scene here where they save the Wookiee.
Yeah, it's like, no, I'm not gonna leave this behind. No way.
But yeah, they make short work of these guys, and I thought it was interesting because there was two moments after each fight scene. There like seems to like a spurt of forest fires, and they're always like, "We need to put out the forest fire first, right?" There's like two different scenes of that, and I posted on Instagram earlier. Only you can prevent forest fires, says Gunji. So definitely a theme here where they're putting out
Love
the
that.
fires.
Love it.
Yeah. So, and this is where the Wookiee goes back and finds his friends and brings the tigers. Deepak, you're so much more knowledgeable on this stuff. Have we seen these animals before?
The ones flying in on the tigers, I want to say maybe in Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Maybe because we explore Kashyyyk in Fallen Order and there's all sorts of like crazy flying dragons, or I don't even know if they're, maybe some are dragons, but I'm trying to remember. I don't think we've ever seen these. I
Yeah,
don't think
yeah.
so. But those
Yeah,
are
it's
awesome. I mean, Wookiees just flying on like tigers. Wow.
Yeah.
Love that.
It's big. Dave Filoni loves that. Like, this is definitely a Dave Filoni idea. He loves like the big animals, like the wolves and rebels and stuff like that. So, yeah, no surprise to see some big creatures like this, big mammals. So, but yeah, they end up going back to a camp led by Yana, who is like the Wookiee leader here. And yeah, they Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. We also get a scene here where the clones of the Trandoshans are talking. They're looking at the saber marks, and the leader says 100 pelts to whoever finds the Jedi. So, you know, things are going to get interesting from here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We also get a scene here where they're eating with the tribe. There's a lot of eating with the bat. Like, they love feasting. So they take every opportunity they can get, and they eat with the tribe, which I thought this was fun. Riker loves chowing down.
What do you think that liquid stuff is that Riker loves, but Echo was kind of like, nah, I don't want any of this.
Yeah. I don't know, like bone broth or something. I don't know. I don't know, but bring it to Galaxy's Edge. Some imported Kashyyyk soup or whatever's going on there.
I've only experienced the blue milk, but we need to you know, explore the palate a little more.
Yeah, exactly. So they realize that these guys are coming to get them, and the Bad Batch is like, no, like, you guys have been our allies, and we're going to fight beside you, which I thought that was really fun. So this is also like an interesting point where they ask the trees for help. They're like praying to the trees or whatever. Interesting theme. This is something like we see like throughout the end of the episode here. But any thoughts on like, I don't know. Very fun how they very much rely on the planet.
Yeah, very, very Avatar here. But no, it was fun to see because, like I said, in Knights of the Old Republic, the Kinrath, the spider things, you're always fighting against them. So it was nice to see like them teaming up. And honestly, absolutely terrifying that these are just giant spiders just wrapping you up, like five of them just swarming you. Like, it's game over. Like, if I ever see those in real life, I'm done for. You know?
Like, their one arm is like as big as like their torsos. It's very terrifying.
Yeah. But what I think I like the most about this is that all throughout the episode, you see a lot of action from Gungi, but he never kills anybody. Like, and he had like every opportunity to, you know, and like, he didn't kill any of the Trandoshans, at least from, I don't remember. Like, I remember him like jumping up on one and he just kicked him over. But he didn't even kill the lead Trandoshan. He just let the spiders take him away. So very, very Jedi of him, which was nice to see.
And it's interesting because, like, I even mentioned in, like, the first two episodes where they kind of went out of their way to, like, have the Bad Batch not kill a lot. Like, they were always incapacitating them or, like, blowing up something next to them so they're just knocked out, you know. But they kind of went all out. Like, yes, Gungi was not involved in any of the murdering, but, like, particularly Hunter killed a lot of people here, which I was down for. I was like, these guys are slavers, they're bad, let's kill them all. But you know, again, like, it's not something you typically see from the Bad Batch, but a full murder here from them.
Yeah, no, they're like, I'm blasting, they're trying to kill me. It's, you know.
yeah. So
and yeah, Gungi, so like this scene was just so cool too. I feel like they really flexed the animation here. I think the 3D animation for all the Star Wars shows just constantly improving. Just a scene where it's like all the fire and he's like trying to fight this Trandoshan. The Trandoshan has a name, but I forget what it is. But it just looks really good, like all that fire stuff and him just like perched up in a tree watching the spiders like wrap this guy up in webs. I'm like, oh gosh, gross.
Yeah, Commander Venomor, I believe. I wrote that one down because it's interesting. I don't know, like, it's got the prefix of venom in it, so I didn't know what they're trying to say there. I guess just the fact that they're like reptilian, but yeah. So,
but yeah, no, I like that Gungi just watched him like get swarmed by all these spiders. He's like, well, I didn't kill you, but
yeah, that was a very cool scene. So, yeah. Yeah, that kind of wraps up the fight here. They end up having a final meal with the Wookiees while Omega and Gungi are praying with the trees. And I don't remember exactly what the leader of the Wookiees said here, but it was one of my favorite lines of the episode. the trees weep when the kids leave and they cheer when they return or something like that. And I thought that that was a lot of fun. Again, just getting that final shot of those two, again, kind of bonding over this. And I don't know, it's like Omega's leaving a bit of herself on Kashyyyk.
Yeah. 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 And Hunter just always being broody too. Him talking about like kids having to, kids being like, they're not able to be kids because of the world that they live in. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah. yeah, very sad. But that is the end of the episode here. A lot of fun. Do you have any other final comments on the Bad Batch?
Other than that, this is, I really love this episode. It's probably my favorite one so far. Before it was faster, but yeah, no, this was great. I hope they keep the momentum moving forward, but I feel like that's kind of a tall ask just because there's so many episodes moving forward. However,
yeah,
next week we do get two episodes, so that'll be nice.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Very much looking forward. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think something weird is going to happen there.
It opened up, the show started with two episodes. Now I think we're like midway through now, and we're getting another two, and then we, like, at the end of the season, we get two more.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess they have to, or they'd be like, take up way too much of the year. And then I think we're already going to Bad Batch. I think we're already going to overlap with The Mandalorian. So that'll be interesting as well to have two Star Wars shows at once.
That'd be great. Yes. I thought about that. I was wondering if, like, okay, like, something big either happens because they drop two episodes at a time, or it's just scheduling conflicts and they just have to.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, I did tease you a little bit. I said I had a game for you at the end. I hope I can
play.
I mean, there's no winning and losing, to be fair. But I just have to imagine that Kyber Culture is going to be talking about the DC stuff at some point. So I want to actually stop down right here, and I want you to tell people where they can find your podcast and everything else you're up to, because we're going to be doing something different with the DC coverage.
Gotcha. Okay. So the Kyber Culture, it's on every podcast platform. We also have a YouTube channel. You can find it at the Kyber Culture. We're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Letterboxd. There's so many of these things. But if you want to listen to our show, it's available wherever you get your podcasts. iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple. Our YouTube channel, like, we have our full episodes up over there as well. Not really doing video right now, but maybe in the future. But if you listen to podcasts on YouTube, it's up there as well.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I've been listening back since the Age Narrative days. I really love the podcast. You guys do an incredible job. But in particular, I gotta say, guys, follow at Kyber Culture on social media, because I think you guys have, like, some of the best social media in the podcasting game. Like, you're on it. Like, here's the thing. Like, was like every time there's news dropped, like, on Twitter and stuff, I go to Twitter and, like, you've already posted about it, and I end up sharing your post. Like, not even, like, you know, like, you know, whether it's, like, the Spider-Verse trailer. Like, I'm not sharing from the Sony account. I'm sharing from your account. So you're always up to date on the news and stuff. So very impressed with all of that. I can't keep up.
Well, I do share it from the Sony pages. So, you know. But yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. We will move on to our game here. And actually, it's inspired by another podcast. Our good friends over at Two Girls, One Multiverse podcast, the Marvel podcast, they always close their episode with these types of games. So I've got two here. We're going to do Smash or Pass, and then we're going to do Fuck, Marry, Kill. But here's the thing.
Wow.
It's only DC properties, okay? So if you guys missed the news, there was a bunch of stuff announced for the DC slate from James Gunn and a lot of their new plans and their new upcoming universe here titled Gods and Monsters. We're going to go through each of those titles, and I'm going to have you, the last one's a little different, but for the most part, we're going to be smashing and passing here. Okay. So I'll give you two of the DC properties announced, and you tell me which one you're smashing and which one you're passing. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. All right, so we'll start up here with Superman Legacy versus The Brave and the Bold, which is the Batman and Robin movie. So which one are you smashing or passing?
Damn. Okay. So,
and explain. Yeah, I need your reasoning.
I'm going to smash The Brave and the Bold. And smash means like I want it, right?
Yeah, that's
I'm assuming
that's
yes. Okay. I want The Brave and the Bold, mostly because it's been a while since we've gotten like any Batman and Robin. I mean, what was the last one? Like that one with fucking George Clooney and that other guy.
Like the worst one.
Yeah, that was the last time we ever got like a live action Batman and Robin. They do very well in the animated stuff, but I think James Gunn will be able to maybe give us a good one here. And it's like, it's Damian Wayne, and I only know him a little bit through video games, but I'm really interested in this story and who he's going to cast as Batman. And then I'm going to pass, even though I still want to see it, I'm going to pass on Superman Legacy, mostly because like I am a Henry Cavill fan. I did like him as Superman. I think a lot of people did. I'm not a Snyder person though. Yet there's a difference.
Listen, I talked to my good buddy Alex Bazard about this for like 2 days, but I was like, I hate the Snyder movies, but I love the cast. Like the casting was never the problem.
Yeah. So yeah, we've gotten like some pretty iconic iterations of Superman already. But yeah, so yeah, Brave and Bold for me.
Fair. So I will do the next one here. It is Waller versus Creature Commandos. These are, I believe they're both TV shows, one animated, one not. Yeah, do you have any takes on this?
Creature Commandos is the animated show, right?
I believe it's the first thing that's going to come out in this new universe. I don't know anything about it, so I know what I would smash and pass. Mainly okay, because I don't know anything about Creature Commandos, but it's like an animated James Gunn property. Like that sounds fun in and of itself.
Yeah, I think, I'm a smash Creature Commandos because I figured this is going to be like a, I think it's going to be like a rated R animated show, like adult animated show. And I mean, like, I don't know anything about them, but James Gunn always does something really well with unknown properties. Well, not unknown, but like, you know, D or F list or whatever.
And it's like a team up, too. Like, that's the two things, unknowns and team ups. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's always done well with those. And then Waller is like, is this like an Elseworlds story? Because I know there's that DC Elseworlds stuff and.
Like, you know what it might be? I'm not 100% sure. I'm a little confused because he kind of mentioned it in the same breath as the rest of the universe, but he also said it's directly connected to Peacemaker, which is connected to the original universe. So I have no idea.
It's one of the more confusing things. Yeah. And for that reason, I'm going to pass on Waller. I do like the Peacemaker stuff. I like James Gunn's The Suicide Squad. I think that's another reason why I'm smashing Creature Commandos because Weasel is in both of those. Waller connected to the older stuff kind of is too confusing. So yeah.
Okay. See, I would have said Waller because I'm a big Peacemaker fan and I think it's all in that universe. So, but yes, I totally understand. It's weird. It's weird. We'll move on to the next one. This is two interesting ones. Booster Gold versus The Authority. So just to set it up, Booster Gold is kind of, it seems like a more comedic type character. I guess he's like a time traveler and he brings tech back and he's like a superhero. And then The Authority kind of seems like the boys in the DC universe. So, what are you smashing and passing here?
Okay. So again, I'm gonna go with the unknowns. I don't know nothing about The Authority, and for the same reasoning as Creature Commandos, you know, James Gunn will make this team. He will create or he'll make this movie, and it'll be a household name. I feel like it'll be rated R. You know, I feel like a lot of this stuff might be rated R. To be honest with you,
please, just. F the kids. Just give us all the who cares? Hell, I'll let my 3-year-old son watch the rated R DC stuff. I don't care.
You won't remember it. But yeah, so I'm gonna go to the Authority, and you know, it's another team up. But I do like, okay, I'm smashing the Authority, passing on Booster Gold, but Booster Gold does excite me a little bit, mostly because like there's some crazy fan casts out there already, and I feel like, because James Gunn did say that he will probably bring some of his Marvel people to the DC universe, and I think this role is just written for Chris Pratt. So
Oh, shit.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Chris Pratt as Booster Gold in the future. But I also really want, you can go to Chris Pratt or Glenn Powell. Did you watch Top Gun?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so yeah, Glenn Powell from Top Gun. I think he would make a great Booster Gold. Mostly because he has like, I think he has a better look to Booster Gold. Like he fits it. He fits the bill more than I think Chris Pratt does. But I'm interested in this. I don't really know anything about Booster Gold, but I think most of my interest is in the authorities. So yeah.
There you go. Fair enough. We'll do the next one here, which I think these are more of the household names. It is Swamp Thing versus Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. Where do you fall on this?
Okay.
Let me cut you off real quick because I just want to say James Gunn, like if you watch that James Gunn video where he announces everything, like he makes everything sound incredible. Like,
He does.
because I'm a fan of Swamp Thing in general. I wasn't much of a fan of Supergirl, but the way he described what they're doing with Supergirl is like, wow, this is closer than I thought it would be.
Yeah. This is gonna sound weird, but we're going with it. I'm a smashing Supergirl. Smashing Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow.
I don't think it's that weird when you consider that you're gonna have Smash Swamp Thing.
I guess all things considered, yeah, it's not that strange. But okay, smashing Supergirl because no great live action iteration of it, even though like there was a live action Supergirl on the CW. Which I think had like a decent following. I think some people liked it, but I'm curious to see how they do this. Mostly because like it looks like the way he described it, it kind of sounded like it was gonna be like a sad story. You know? So I was like, oh, like that's interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think we're gonna get our first Supergirl in the Flash movie. So I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, so smashing Supergirl, and then passing, even though like there's some things about Swamp Thing that do interest me, like how they're describing it as a horror film, and the fact that big rumor, but supposedly James Mangold is attached to it to be the director,
It's a
and
big
that's
one
only
for me.
because yeah, he tweeted out like a picture of Swamp Thing. So I don't know, maybe that could mean something, or he could just be a Swamp Thing fan. James Mangold in horror, never, I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine though, you know.
James Mangold is very bold on Twitter, though. Like it's not like he likes he's an interesting follow for sure because like he will say anything, and
Yeah.
you know him tweeting that out, it's like you know I don't care if this hurts my chances or helps my like I want to fucking do it, putting it out
I'm
there.
gonna throw my name in the hat. But what I did think was interesting, this is kind of a sidebar, but during James Gunn's announcements, he said that one of the most important things about his DC universe is that every director, writer, producer, whoever's on the new projects moving forward, like it'll be their vision of the story, you know what I mean? So I feel like that means, because Marvel kind of does this thing where they grab like up and coming indie directors, and then they kind of like, you know, have their hand on the project for the most part. But like, you know, James Mangold and Swamp Thing, like I feel like James Gunn is just gonna be getting like some bigger name tentpole directors, which is pretty exciting. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Well said. So last one here. This is another interesting one, a close one for me. It is Paradise Lost, which will be the kind of Wonder Woman thing. And then Green Lantern, which, again, I think these are both TV shows. Smash or pass on these.
This is an easy smash on Green Lantern.
Okay. All
easy right. Smash. Easy smash on Green Lantern. Another fan cast that I really liked that I saw out there was Glenn Powell and Jonathan Majors as Hal Jordan and and John Stewart. That'd be perfect. Let's just get Glenn Powell somewhere in here, and I'll be happy.
Look, there's not enough fighter pilots for him to be in it. Like, he's in like every aviator movie.
For real, right? Exactly. This will just be another aviator role for him, you know. So
there you go.
We'll see. Definitely smashing this because they're describing it as like a they're supposed to be like space police, and it's supposed to be in like this, like in terms of the way they tell the story, it's supposed to be in a similar vein to True Detective. And True Detective is like one of my favorite shows. Like True Detective season one, probably one of the best like single seasons of television ever. I really interested in this one. And again, we haven't gotten a proper Green Lantern. Like, I mean, sorry, Ryan Reynolds, but yeah, I think even Ryan Reynolds knows that, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm passing on the Amazon thing. I think, what was that supposed to be? It's like between, like, it's just supposed to be about the Amazons, but when Wonder Woman's not there, I'm interested, but yeah, not more than Green Lantern though.
This is why I paired them together, because Green Lantern was compared to True Detective, where Paradise Lost was compared to Game of Thrones, which that like really tears me there, because, you know, those are, like you said, True Detective season one, one of the greatest of all time. And then Game of Thrones, it's great altogether. I don't know about you. I'm actually a big fan of the final season. I know that's like a hot take. I'm not supposed to say that, but I like the fucking final season, and I like everything Game of Thrones. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
It's a toss-up for me, for sure. Last one here. It's a little different. It's Fuck, Marry, Kill. And I'm going to present to you some outside of the James Gunn-verse upcoming DC stuff. So we're going to do The Flash, Aquaman 2, and Shazam 2.
The Flash, Aquaman 2, and Shazam 2. I'm gonna kill Shazam 2.
Okay. All right, fair.
I'm killing Shazam 2. As far as the reasons, I'll get to that. I think I'm gonna marry The Flash, mostly because like Ezra Miller is a menace. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me put this out on here.
That's fair. We can preface that.
But The Flash, supposedly, according to James Gunn, it will reset the universe. So I'm curious to see how that's done. And James Gunn says it's one of the greatest superhero movies he's ever seen. So I'm like, okay. Like, and they're like, Warner Brothers hasn't had a commercial play during the Super Bowl, and I think it was somewhere between 15 and 20 years. They're back in the Super Bowl with a Flash teaser.
I didn't know
what
that.
After all this stuff, like, you're going back to the Super Bowl, like, on the biggest stage, like, everyone loves fucking Super Bowl commercials. I'm also like, what? No way. Like, with all this heat with Ezra Miller, it sounded crazy to me. So I'm marrying The Flash, and then I'm gonna fuck Aquaman.
Okay, fair.
And supposedly we're getting Aquaman 3. What's going on here, James Gunn? Are these Elseworlds stories? What's going on?
Yeah, we need it clarified, please. Okay, thank you so much for doing this. It's always a blast to have you on here, so I appreciate you making time for us.
Thanks for having me, dude.
Yeah,
do it again soon. And you got to come on Kyra Culture sometime.
Yeah,
we'll link up.
Yeah. Any other final words? Any like you know, again, follow Kyber culture, stuff like that.
Since we were talking about the DC stuff, the thing that excites me the most about the DC universe is an Elseworlds story is the Batman Part Two. So
yes.
like smash it 100 times, marrying it, yeah. Everything.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah. But as far as like something else I'm watching, like outside the vein of like superheroes and
all
that stuff.
I almost skipped over the recommendations. We gotta do some recommendations.
Yeah. I just binged the first season of Abbott Elementary. Very funny. It's like a workplace comedy similar to like Parks and Rec or The Office. But it's great, and it's winning tons of awards. Quinta Brunson is awesome. But yeah, it's fun. Nice little watch. It's only like 25 minutes an episode. It's like Clone Wars in a way, or I mean Bad Batch in a way, where it's like such an easy watch. It's a nice palate cleanser. Like if you just watch some fucked up shit and like you can't go to bed, just put on an episode of Abbott Elementary and you'll be good to go.
See, that show for me has been Search Party on HBO Max. Like that's kind of like my unwatch. Like it is kind of dark, but it's also funny. Here's the thing, like I'm actually not like people always make fun of me when I say this, but I'm like not a big comedy guy. Like it's not my genre.
I don't watch a lot of comedy either. Yeah. No, it's like all the classic comedies, like I haven't seen like a handful of them, but I don't know.
Yeah. So that's good to hear though. Maybe I'll check that out. I have a recommendation here. And it's a big one, something I'm super obsessed with right now. And I can't wait to share with you guys. So I've been talking a lot with my brother, Jake, who's been on the podcast before. I've been in like a video game rut, like a lot of stuff, just like modern games, like I don't know what it is, like the ones I'm really excited for, they end up getting bad reviews and I'm like, okay, well I'm not playing that. And then the ones that get really good reviews are things that don't appeal to me. So I'm like, I'm constantly in this ebb and flow of like I just can't play games. Like I feel like I'm just, I don't know, am I too old? Am I like, or do video games suck now? Like what is it? I was like watching videos after videos. I was like, and I was watching videos specifically like, oh, you are in a video game rut? These are the games to check out. And somebody had recommended to me a game called RimWorld. And RimWorld is, I could compare it to so many things. It's like, it looks like Animal Crossing, but it has like the strategy of Age of Empires and like the darkness of The Last of Us. And kind of the simulation of The Sims, right? Like it's kind of like this amalgamation of so many different things. It's like this survival type simulator where you kind of build a colony, you crash land on this like mystery planet and you have to build your colony and like terrible things happen. And like so much of the game is centered on horrible things happening to you, right? Like one of your characters could just have a heart attack and die, or like maybe some raiders come and kill you. And here's the thing, like I could continuously go off on all the horrible things that could happen to your colony. But like also like I want people to play it, so I'm like, I don't want to spoil too much. But at the same time, I could tell you everything that happened to me, and then you go play that game and you're gonna have a completely different experience. So I'm completely raving about this game. I'm telling everybody that I possibly can to check out RimWorld. And you know, Deepak, just putting it out there. It's a great game.
Okay. Is it what console
it's,
is it?
It's PC actually. So
PC, okay.
Yeah, I guess that's limiting to some folks. But it's also again, it's like Animal, like and I think most computers could run this game, so
gotcha.
There's that.
Okay. Nice.
All right. Again, thank you so much for doing this. I'm going to close this out here. I'd like to remind you guys to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be every single week. We're kind of alternating between Bad Batch and The Last of Us right now, doing 2 episodes apiece. So come check that stuff out. And if you subscribe, it'll come straight to your phone. It's so convenient. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Hive, everything. At Stark Wars Pod. Also, ask us for a Discord link because we have a little Discord community going on and we'd love to have you guys. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening and we will see you next time. Bye.
Peace.